armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of yee about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
trying
any
to save
idea?
The pump. Really, this
do
is what you're
have
doing?
Any
this
idea?
Is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGinn. I don't know much, but I know one thing. All those conspiracy theorists about DeMar Hamlin being in hiding, they're going to have a lot of walking stuff back to do, a lot of crow to eat.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. He's the All-American Man.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? We are having a great day here on Braves Country, Braves Country HD on YouTube, Braves Country Today, as we are rolling on 99.1 FM, WQEE, and we're getting set for a game night. Tonight, we will bring you game two of Braves versus Padres. Looking forward to that. Anytime Spencer Strider takes the hill, you always got to look forward to that. And to be honest with you, I'm not the biggest fan of Blake Snell. After the goofy comments that he made back during the pandemic, I've always kind of been off the Blake Snell train. So I'm looking forward to that game tonight. And hopefully the Braves can extend what is now, what would be if we won tonight, an 8-game winning streak. We're at number 7 right now. If you missed it last night because that game came on late, I ended up staying up for it. I always say I'm not and that I can never turn the Braves off. But low-scoring affair. The Braves got all they needed in the first when Riley hit a 2-run bomb. And then Max Fried looked absolutely phenomenal, considering the fact that he had only pitched a handful of innings to start the season, or a few innings to start the season, that went on the IL, and he went 5 strong. And I think he probably could have went out there for the 6, but they wanted to play it cautious, and why not? And then the Braves bullpen, outstanding. Dylan Lee, unbelievably, you know, goes out there 2 innings. And how about Jesse Chavez getting out of that mess? If you missed that, but this to me was where the game was won. The Padres had the top of their lineup. They had runners on, and he had to go through the gauntlet, and he got a double play from Machado to get out of the inning. And that right there, if that doesn't get you fired up, nothing will. So Braves take game one. We hope to get the series winner a pocket tonight at 9:40, and then tomorrow, 4 o'clock Eastern. It's either 4:05 or 4:10 first pitch. I think it's 4:10. It will be game number 3. We're going to bring game 2 and game 3 to you. So make sure to tune in here, and we're going to get into that game here in a bit. But I do want to touch on a couple other things that are going on tonight. You got the NHL playoffs going on, Rangers-Devils. That's the one that I'm looking forward to the most. I'm going to have that on while I'm doing the game. You got the Hawks, and you've got the Celtics. I don't suspect that's going to be a close game, but I'm going to keep an eye on it. I'm going to keep an eye on it just to see what's going on. But those games will be coming to an end when the Braves-Padres come on. So it's kind of nice in that realm. It's not so nice because it comes on so late. But We only have to make these road trips a few times a year, and sometimes it's just worth staying up so you can enjoy the game live, and we hope that you do tune in. Outside of that, what we're looking at is you got three other games in the NHL. And by the way, what about this rumor that an NHL team could be coming to Atlanta? I heard that today, and to me, that's very interesting. It's failed twice miserably. But most folks will say that it had nothing to do with the fans not supporting. It had to do with the ownership groups. We shall see. I just don't know if Atlanta can go out there and support all that they already have. And I think they do a pretty darn good job supporting the Falcons, the Braves, obviously, the Hawks. You're going to add a fourth team to that mix, not to mention all the minor professional teams, professional leagues that you have in the air, like the MLS and whatnot. That's a very, very tall order. It'll be interesting to see. But the, you know, honestly, the whole thing will be interesting because they're not talking about putting it in the heart of Atlanta. They're talking about going just a little bit north and basically building, you know, what this is coming off of is this is obviously the momentum of what the Battery has done for the Atlanta area and bringing in. And look, there's no way that they went in and got any kind of proposal together to build an 19,000 seat arena somewhere in that neighborhood, unless they were planning on putting something there. And obviously the NBA is already here, so I figure they've got to be going NHL, unless there's just something that I'm not catching. But to be able to do that and support the Braves and support the Hawks and the Falcons and everything else, that's going to be really tricky. It's going to be really tricky because larger cities in Atlanta that have all that going on have a hard time supporting. Usually what ends up happening is one of the franchises takes it on the chin. And that's why I'm selfishly not really realistically wanting them to get a hockey team here, because I don't want people to not go to Braves games because they're spending their money on the hockey team. But anyways, it could be a situation where the Hawks get bounced. I don't see that. The Hawks have been pretty popular for years. We know the Falcons aren't going anywhere. We know the Braves aren't going anywhere. So we'll continue to monitor that and see any kind of news that comes out on that front. Other than that, you've got the NBA with three games tonight. You've got the NHL. I mentioned one. There's four games total. You got the Lightning and Maple Leafs, Jets and Golden Knights, Kraken and Avalanche. Now, those last two ones are late games. Rangers and Devils is the one that I'm really wanting to pay attention to. I will take a peek at the Lightning Maple Leafs, but I just feel like this Rangers Devils rivalry is going to be fun stuff to watch unfold in the playoffs. You don't get this very often. And then tonight in the NBA, Celtics, Hawks, Clippers, Suns, Cavaliers, Knicks. Now, unfortunately, I think Celtics, Hawks is by far the worst matchup. You have two lower seeds that won on the higher seeds' home court in game one, and they're going back at it tonight. If either one of these home teams lose tonight, going down 2-0 like the Golden State Warriors did last night to the Kings, they're going to be in trouble. And the Warriors are really going to be in trouble because with the Draymond Green thing where he's stepping all over Sabonis. But by the way, I don't blame him for it because the guy had a hold of his leg and he was really giving him the business. So we'll see how much they take that into consideration. But I think they're going to suspend him. And if they suspend him, how much does that hurt the team? Are you looking at 3-0? Are you looking down the barrel of being down 3-0? So we'll see how that unfolds. All right, let's take a real quick break. When we come back, game two, Strider versus Snell. We're going to give you all the look-ins and whatnot. And then also we've got an update on one of our Braves players who's on the mend that may be back very, very soon. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country. And also later in this hour, I've got something that I think you're going to find intriguing. It's got nothing to do with the world of sports, but I thought it was extremely intriguing. I ran into it a few days ago. For whatever reason, I forgot about it beginning of the week. Jarred my memory this morning, and it's a pretty intriguing documentary that basically got us to where we are today and how we consume all things Netflix and whatnot. All right, we'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country and Braves Country HD.
Now there's a steal by Bird. Underneath the DJ, lays it in. White has 1 second left.
Here's good news. There's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
ACC football, covered like no other, here on the Armchair Quarterbacks.
Out of the shotgun, third down and about 10. Ward getting some pressure, getting more, gets it away. He's got Fryer wide open. Touchdown. That's what Ward will do to you.
Georgia Tech 45, Nebraska 21. It's now up to the voters. They look like the number one, don't they?
All right, 6 seconds to go. Maurer throws it up for grabs. There's five defenders back there. Game runs out. And Clemson wins the national championship of college football.
This is for the national championship for Nebraska.
Incomplete.
And for Miami, an absolutely miracle year. The dream season as they come back from a bad loss opening day to go to 11 straight wins and in all probability when the votes are in, a first ever national championship for the Hurricane.
Take the scenic route in the new Hyundai Santa Fe, the family SUV with available H-Track all-wheel drive to help you travel way off the beaten path. Find new adventures together in the Hyundai Santa Fe.
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays 3 to 5 p.m. drive time on WQEE.
Yo, you don't even know what stupid is. It's about to get all stupid up in here.
An original melody.
Why did John Lennon have to be the one to get shot? Something's wrong.
Welcome back. Real quick, do want to hit the Major League Baseball scoreboard. Excuse me. There is just one game going on, but it's actually a pretty good one. I'm going to put the score up in the corner here in a second. Guardians, Tigers, they're tied at 3 apiece. That game is in the ninth. Later on this afternoon, in about an hour or so, they're going to play the second part of that doubleheader. And then also getting going another doubleheader from a game that was rained out as well yesterday. You've got the Phillies and the White Sox. Phillies will play White Sox 4:10, and then again around 7:40, 7:08, 8 o'clock, half hour after the first game ends, however that plays out. It's pretty good pitching matchups in that as well. All right, it's time to get you ready for game number two.
You're in Braves Country.
All right. Hope you're ready. I'm ready. Braves went out there. That was huge last night, getting the 2-0 victory as Atlanta wins 2-0 against San Diego to start this off. And there wasn't a whole lot of offense, but one thing that I'll say that intrigued me was that I thought Vaughn Grissom played pretty well at short last night. He was solid. He didn't make any errors, and realistically, that's all we're looking for. But I thought he made a couple of decent plays, and hopefully the more and more that he's with Ron Washington, talked about this yesterday, but the more and more he's with Ron Washington, it can't hurt him. Ron Washington is known as being one of, if not the best there is on how to coach infielders, because he'll get out there and do the work. Unlike others, Ron Washington is advanced age. Will get out there, the fungo bat or whatever he needs to do. He'll get out there on his knees and just roll balls to guys, bounce ball to guys, get a bat out there and just bang them on the ground and have them practice repetition over and over and over. Because all you're doing is creating muscle memory. And he's one of the best there is, and it's mainly because he's dedicated to it. There's a lot of guys that don't want to get out there and do that. You get in the dog days of summer, who wants to get out there in the heat and roll around in the grass, right? But Ron Washington, I am so glad that he has stayed on. I really thought I'm surprised someone has not nabbed him yet, has not taken him. I don't know about y'all, but I'm very, very surprised that he has not been stolen away, by somebody. But anyways, outside of that, the Braves win 2-0. They got 7 hits, only gave up 6 hits. They scored the 2 runs. Obviously, the big hit was the 2-run home run by Riley. And the top of our lineup, I mean, it is just Acuna, man. This guy's hitting .389 now. 3-for-5. If he stays healthy, mark my words, that is your MVP in the National League for 2023. Because I don't think anything is going to derail him. I don't see this kid, as talented as he is, going into a long slump. And so, obviously, injury shut him down 2 years ago. And then last year is basically a season, let's be honest, where he was playing on one leg. And now we've got a guy who's going out there and healthy every day, knock on wood. And able to, and the thing is, if folks are paying attention, I don't know how many folks are really paying attention to this because it's so early in the season, but he's not just doing it with his bat. He's not doing it with his legs, just with his legs. He is absolutely killing it in the field as well. As I'm setting up the scoreboard for you here in 1 second, it should be coming up here. But it has been absolutely impressive to me that he's able to do what he does, and you don't see. Oh, and by the way, can we talk about the fact that Vaughn Grissom was safe at third last night? What the hell was that? They replayed it. You could tell that Grissom was safe, and the throw to third by Murphy. He got him. He got him. They didn't give it to him because they basically said that that they didn't have enough evidence, right? But you could tell that he got him. Murphy knew it. Riley knew it. He got him. And then we couldn't end up challenging because we'd lost the challenge so early in the game. So Grissom ends up paying for that. But this team is playing so well right now. As I'm sharing the screen right now, want to make sure that we get this in. But this team is playing so well right now that I don't think, barring anything crazy, they're not heading to the postseason, right? You got to think Atlanta's heading to the postseason. Now, the big thing to me is it's twofold. Not only do we want to make sure that we win the division, but I want home field. We haven't had that yet. I want home field. I want folks to have to come in to Truist Park, walk through that battery, and have to deal with the crazy, raucous crowd that is Atlanta Braves baseball. And I want them to have to come through there and beat us on our turf. Now, I know last year we had the home field advantage against Philadelphia. But that was a weird situation, and I still say and I'll go to my grave saying this. The Braves were the better team. I think the Braves were the best team in the National League last year, if not the entire league. I think there's a very good chance Atlanta could have ended up winning the World Series, but they ran out of steam trying to chase down the Mets. This year, the great thing is we're not out there trying to chase them down. We're not 5 games back already, 7 games back, 10 games back. We all know how last year went. We're coming out playing well, and hopefully we can start getting some help. You know, tonight, the Dodgers are hosting the Mets again. I still don't understand how in the world the Dodgers didn't end up winning. Dustin May looked like junk for the first time all year. Dustin May's looked really good, and he just didn't have a good game last night. But tonight they got Kershaw on the mound. Not only do they have Kershaw, the Mets have McGill. And I think the Dodgers can get to him. The other thing is that you may not be aware of, Clayton Kershaw is going for his 200th career victory. And you know there's some extra oomph in there when you get on the, not just for him, but everybody out there on that field, they're going to be out there saying, you know, essentially, we got to get this W for Kershaw. So hopefully we can get some help. Because as we've gone on a 7-game winning streak, the Mets are on a 5-game winning streak. So, because when you look at it, the schedule, we're just, what, about a week and a half away from having to go into a 4-game series in New York. And I'd like to have a cushion going on in there where you didn't feel like you had to win that series. Although I'm very much looking forward to that series. And depending on the start times, we're going to try to bring the whole thing to you. I just have to work out a couple of things. But anyways, tonight's game, Braves-Padres. We're going to be looking at a lot of things here. And Spencer Strider, to me, has got to get out there. And he's got to go. I want to see 6 innings out of Strider tonight. I don't want to see 4.5, 5 innings. His pitch counts through the roof. I want to see him to be able to put batters away. Would I love 7? We'd all love 7. But this guy got a big payday in the off last year, right? Towards the end of the season. And one of the reasons why you're doing that is you're wanting to have a guy that is going to be an ace, a 1A, a 1B, whatever. With him and Fried, I believe stuff-wise are 1A and 1B. The thing about Fried, once everything's underneath him, Max Fried, no way, no how, doesn't expect to go 5, 6, 7 innings every time out. Now, yesterday, he was coming back from the injury, so they were really kid-gloving it. But I will say this, a lot of guys wouldn't have went 5. And when he worked out of that mess in the second, and I heard a couple of shows where they were talking about how they were concerned about that. If you watch the game, it makes you wonder sometimes if some of these people that react to Braves and whatnot, if they're actually watching the game. Are they watching the game, or are they watching the scorecard on a computer? Because if you watch the game, it was some unfortunate base hits in that inning. Little squibbler that hit Ozzy in the arm. Then you had the other one that dribbled through. I mean, there was just some bad luck. And look, that's a part of baseball. But it wasn't a situation where I was concerned because I was like, man, they're really hammering him. No, just got dribblers on him. But you know what? He found a way out of it. And what I was most impressed by the entire thing was once he settled down after that second inning, it was like clockwork. What he put together after that second inning, he went on a run there where it was like it was either 7, 8 consecutive batters that he put down. That's huge. Because we had to lean on the bullpen quite a bit last night. You ended up getting Dylan Lee going 2 innings. Chavez got another hold. You know, that that double play that Chavez induced was huge. Huge. Because if it was ever going to unravel, it was going to unravel right there. And then Minter came in, lights out. I'm going to tell you right now, I know Iglesias, they're saying that Iglesias is getting some work in this week, and they hope to have him back in the near future. I don't know if Iglesias should be the closer. Minter has been phenomenal as a closer. Why mess with it? Maybe you go in there and you do matchups. Maybe you say, hey, and I'm totally fine with that. I do like it better than when you go into the postseason and one guy is your closer, just because it sets the tone and everybody knows their roles going into the game. There's no guessing. But if you have a situation where, let's say the heart of a lineup and it's a bunch of right-handers, heavy right-handed bats. I'll take the Mets, for example. And you have, you know, Pete Alonso, Marte. The switcher of Lindor is kind of a moot point. But you're hitting that part of the lineup and that's the end of the game. Okay, I can see where Iglesias should be the guy. But AJ Minter, he's getting swing and miss stuff on righties, lefties. I mean, that fastball that he was placing last night that in the top corner on the right-handers, hitting the zone. Sometimes it's just off the zone, but hitting the zone. If you've ever stood there and taken a fastball right in your kitchen, especially in a big part of a game like that, that is so hard for the pitcher to place that. But the other thing is, it is hard to lay off it. You see it coming at you. You don't have enough time to sit there and think, is this a strike? Is it a-? You're just like, I got to try to stay alive. And it gets on you. It gets on you in a hurry. He was hitting, 97 last night repeatedly? And the way the ball just explodes out of his hand. I don't want to mess with it right now. I would love to see then bring Iglesias back and work him in to the eighth inning type deal. The other thing is, looks like tonight in Rome, you're going to have Colin McHugh come back for the Braves. Remember his minor injury. Most people believe a lot of these are ghost injuries. They may be, because sometimes I think it's really just to give guys some innings off, right? Some days off. I don't think there's anything wrong with it either. When you're talking about trying to navigate through a 162 game season and some of these relievers, it's not the innings that blow you away at the end of the year. You'll see a guy, oh, okay, well, he did 72 innings, but he had 83 appearances. You're talking about every other day, right? Every other day. And so, to me, the whole thing is just crazy that I've heard some folks complaining about, well, they need to get rid of the ghost injuries and they need to have longer ILs. I think the 10-day IL is perfect. They essentially do it in football, and we know they do it in basketball. It's called load management. But in football, all the time, you'll see a guy that'll take a game off, especially in college football, but even in the NFL, where a game where they feel like that they want a guy fresher for the following week because it's a division matchup. So all of a sudden, your starting left tackle isn't playing in a game. And you'll hear him reference, oh, if this was the playoffs, I'd be playing. And a lot of the fans will get mad, go, well, then get out there. They're trying to make it through an entire season, and they're trying to prevent big injuries. I don't know if I believe this or not, but I'm hearing and seeing and reading that Colin McHugh very well could be back with us on Friday when we take on the Astros. And if you missed it yesterday, Lucas Litgay, he went on the Phantom IL as well, what they call left bicep inflammation. you wonder if they have to sit up there and practice that, like, right? Like routine. Snicker comes up and goes, okay, we're going to put you on for left arm inflammation. You got that? You got it memorized? Because you're going to get three or four questions. Want to make sure that you're saying the same thing we're saying. And he'll go down on the farm, or he may not even be asked to do a stint. Because normally these relievers, when they do come back from the IL, it's usually just one appearance and then they're back up. My only question mark with McHugh is how they can navigate it as long as they want. They can take their time. So do you want to rush him back, or do you want to give him a few more innings off? Is it more important to have him back against Houston, which I get it. Houston's good. Defending World Series champions, they're better than good. But is it more important to have him fresh for then, or is it more important to have him fresh a week later when we go to New York to face the Mets in a four-game series? So that's the only reason why I'm a little skeptical on that whole thing. But tonight's game, Strider versus Snell, the Braves have pounded left-handed batting. We know that. We know that we should put up some runs on Snell. And when you look at the bats that the Braves will have out there going against the left-handed arm, against Snell, I mean, I'm looking for big games out of Acuna, obviously, Riley, obviously. But what about Ozzie Albies? I'd like to see him slug into one, because we all know his power is better on the right-hand side of the plate. Murphy's been unreal against left-handed pitching. And Vaughn Grissom. And look, going to point out the obvious, but we are over 2 weeks into this season, and Marcell Ozuna is below the Ozuna line, as they're calling it now. Ozuna line meaning batting 100, which is half of what the Mendoza line is. How much longer is Marcell Ozuna going to be on this team? Do they fly him back to Atlanta with them and then part ways? I really do. Because it sounds like there's a very good opportunity for Michael Harris to be back sooner than later. Most people are pointing to Friday against the Astros. When they bring him up, there's essentially two thoughts on this. You can go either way. Either way, neither one of these guys didn't need to be starting at that point. You can send Eli White back down because he's not out of options. Or you can keep Eli White for his base running and his defense, which you can't say that about Ozuna. And DFA Ozuna. I mean, Eli White's at least hitting the Ozuna line. He's hitting 100. And we know there's nothing special there. By the way, Jordan Luplo did get picked up by the Toronto Blue Jays, in case you missed that. So Luplo is off the market, but that's not really that big of a loss for the Braves. But Sam Hilliard, he's playing really well. When Harris comes back, we know darn good and well Sam Hilliard deserves at bats. You've got Eddie Rosario, who, I'm not ready to give up on Eddie. I think he's got a solid left-handed bat, and I think he's going to be important to have down the stretch when we get towards the postseason or even trying to win this division. I think there's big at bats from the left-hand side of the plate that we need Eddie on it. But if I'm constructing it right now, you could. I used to push back on it because I just never thought there was any single way in the world that they were just going to give up, considering the money that's being spent on Ozuna, that they would just DFA him. But enough is enough. This guy is going up there. He's not even giving you good at bats. And I get it. He got the one base hit yesterday. He got a double. But he's not swinging a good bat. And him hitting that double, to me, does not make him more valuable than what Eli White can bring. Or when Travis d'Arnaud comes up. Because when Travis d'Arnaud comes off the IL, you're going to have a real decision to make between d'Arnaud and Michael Harris coming up, coming off the ILs, excuse me. The real question is going to be, how does Ozuna survive that? And I don't think he does. All right, let's go ahead and take a real quick break. When we come back, going to get into a couple of the other games tonight, and Joey's on the way. And I'm going to tell you about something that I saw that is relevant to everybody, whether you're a sports fan or not. And I just found it amazing. I'll also let you know how to find this little nugget that I came across accidentally, and I learned a lot in a movie documentary that I saw this past weekend. All right, we'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country today, 99.1 FM WQEE and Braves Country HD on YouTube.
You're a cop, huh?
No, what I am, Sonny, is about 50 pounds heavier and one hell of a lot meaner, so you better straighten up your act. I don't think I'll like
it. The Dixie Handle Company, five generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Wendy's only makes one kind of breakfast, your new favorite one. How do we do it? With fresh cracked eggs, oven-baked bacon, and flaky croissants. You know, the things your old breakfast wasn't doing. So toss that old news and its soggy eggs somewhere useful. And get to Wendy's. A sausage, egg, and Swiss croissant, bacon, egg, and Swiss croissant, and honey butter chicken biscuit. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
The price and participation may vary at U.S. Wendy's.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, the key in Noonan, Georgia, home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on the key and YouTube.com at Braves Country.
Yeah, the Armchair Quarterback, he's kind of fun and he's kind of bad, the All-American Man.
Welcome back. As there was a walk-off home run while we were talking all the other Braves-related stuff, I saw it in the corner of my eyes. I just didn't react to it at the time. But the Detroit Tigers and Cleveland Guardians playing the first of a doubleheader. That game is in the books. Detroit gets a walk-off home run. They win it 4-3. And it must be brutally cold there in Detroit because they were all bundled up. Everyone was out there on the field celebrating with the kid. But man, oh, man, oh, man. By the way, you talk about a waste of we think we got a bad deal with the Ozuna signing. Think about what Tiger fans are going through with Javi Baez. What a disaster that has been. You see him get pulled the other day because he didn't know what outs, how many outs there were. But they're stuck with him. They still think they've got like 4 more years on that deal and right at $100 million. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but someone was going over it. And it was Kerry Carpenter hit the 363-foot bomb into right field. And then tonight, you see up there, oh, I thought I had it set up perfectly, but I do not. Let me navigate that a little bit. Tyler McGill versus Clayton Kershaw. Kershaw, as you can see, is 2-1 with the 3-5. McGill's got a 2-2-5, and he's a guy that is not going to overpower you, but he also, if you go back and look at his numbers, he has not played the best competition. So I don't know if I'm buying the whole, you know, 2.25 ERA going into LA. And I saw the line today. The line is like minuscule. I want to say LA is like maybe a -120, something like that. Give me a break. Tyler McGill in Los Angeles facing Clayton Kershaw, who's going after win number 200. Give me the Dodgers all day long on that one. That is a no brainer for me. I don't know if y'all can hear that or not. If you hear, it sounds like a tugboat going off in the background. It's my puppy. She's the loudest snorer I have ever heard. And if you can't hear it, it's literally like a boom, boom. And when it first started months ago, when I would hear, I'd look around and go, what? I thought our AC or heater unit was about to explode. And then you get closer and you realize it's her. So if you do hear that, I do apologize, but it's so damn funny. And she's a little thing too. I mean, she's not a very big dog at all. She can just absolutely, she'll shake the house. All right, other games tonight. Like I said, I really do believe that that you're going to get the Dodgers getting that W, which means that the Braves can win. We can expand our lead to 3 games. I feel like the Mets did last year at this time. Remember when the Mets had the lead and the Braves just wouldn't lose? That's the way I feel right now. Like, man, we got a 7-game win streak. You'd think we would have picked up a few games here and there. Phillies and White Sox, that game is about to begin here in just a minute. I do apologize. I accidentally hit the wrong button, so that's what I get for doing that. Back here on Braves Country HD, apologize. I hit the wrong button and I left the room. So anyways, we're back. I'm going to get everything preset back up. But looking at the other games that are going on, I'm going to try to get this going here in the right direction. All right, we'll just leave it at that. So the other games that are going on right now, you got the Phillies and White Sox are about to begin. And this, to me, is an interesting one. You got Wheeler versus Zach Lynn. It's a pretty good pitching matchup. And considering the Phillies are 4-6, they're about to play a doubleheader, and they're going to face Lance Lynn, and Lucas Giolito. Lynn and Giolito, two of the more talented pitchers. And as you can see right there, they're not getting what they expect out of them. As Lynn is sitting there with a 7.31 ERA. I won't keep navigating back and forth because I'm on three different screens and I'm going to end up knocking myself out again. But Lucas Giolito, he has struggled as well. He has a 6 ERA. Phillies have Wheeler, and then they got Bailey Falter, who's actually pitched pretty decently. He had one bad outing, but other than that, he's pitched pretty well. To me, it's a little concerning if you're a Phillies fan that this team is playing as poorly as it is when you consider the fact that, yeah, the offense hasn't really gotten going. And you can point to the fact that Bryce Harper's on the IL and Rhys Hoskins is done for the season on the IL as well. And they're talking about there's a possibility that he's going to end up, he being Bryce Harper, is going to end up playing first base so that he can come back faster and get through the rehab faster. Because there's obviously a gap there at first base, because not only did Lynn get hurt, excuse me, not Lynn, had the pitching matchup on my mind. Not only did Rhys Hoskins get hurt, but then their backup, Derek Hall, he got hurt. He's out 2 to 3 months. Now, I don't know what that means as far as if he comes back and plays first base, does that mean that's going to slow down his rehabilitation across the board and he's not going to play outfield at all this year? And if so, then I guess the answer would be that the Phillies go out and try to make a trade for an outfielder. But this Phillies bullpen that they've constructed, and I had questions from it from the get-go. Y'all know that if you listen or watch the show. It's performing worse than I thought it was going to. And when you look at the Philadelphia Phillies and you look at that bullpen, and look, bullpen is the one thing that is very, very difficult to trade for. Nobody wants to give up bullpen arms. It's even more difficult nowadays. Years ago, bullpen arms were much easier to acquire. Now it's become such a big part of baseball, having a great bullpen, that they're very hard to acquire because guys, GMs don't want to give up on guys that they might have control of. So bullpen's very hard to construct in the middle of a race. But you look at some of these guys, man, they just are not playing well. And they're going to have to get better out of the if they're going to be where they think they're going to be. Alvarado's actually been the best of the bunch, but Dominguez, Kimbrel, they're all going to have to be better. How about Corbin Burnes and Jacob DeGrom both go down last night? Now, DeGrom doesn't shock anybody, but Corbin Burnes, if you miss that, because that was a late start, he came out of the game too. So we'll wait to see what happens with that. But outside of that, I do want to talk about something real quick. Joey's about to come on. I found this documentary. It's called The Z Channel. I think the actual title the title of it is Z Channel, an obsession or something like that. But anyways, if you search Z Channel, you'll find it, and it's free on the Pluto TV app. You can watch it. If you're into the history of entertainment, you're gonna love this thing. But I found it fascinating because evidently in the 70s and 80s. There was a channel that revolutionized television that evidently was the forefather of what ends up being HBO and Showtime and all those channels, which obviously eventually leads into everyone's obsession for having Blockbuster. And then what happens out of those? You end up getting Netflix. And now you got HBO and all of them getting back into the mix, and they're making their own, all of their own, you got basically HBO and Netflix and all those entities stealing from each other, meaning Netflix is now making their own movies, their own shows, just like HBO always did. Or not always did, but they started doing. Sopranos is what really launched that. But it was fascinating to me because a guy by the name of Jerry Harvey was the program director at the Z Channel. And I won't go into the weeds on this because I can't do it justice. But the short of it is they come up with this thing called the Z Channel, and it was the first pay channel where you would pay. And I don't know what the subscription price was, but it couldn't have been much because it was the early 1970s. You paid to have movies on nonstop with no commercials. And I guess what set him apart was that he was very good at finding movies that nobody else had heard of or nobody else realized was that good. So they became almost like that. It became a sense of getting to a certain perch if the Z Channel picked up your movie. So in other words, the Z Channel didn't go after the blockbuster films. They went after films that may or may not have done well with the Golden Globes and the Oscars and whatnot, but they were critically acclaimed. And tragically, the guy ends up killing himself and his wife. Evidently, he was like one of these like beautiful mind nutso kind of guys, but it was in the world of film. In fact, James Woods, and we all know that actor, James Woods, he said in his first nomination for the Academy Award, he claims that it all came from the Z Channel because the Z Channel put his movie on in December in the Los Angeles area. And this is getting picked up in the foothills of Los Angeles where there was bad reception. But you know who lives in the foothills in Los Angeles at that time? It's all the people in the movie business. So they see the movie Salvador, which if you haven't seen that, it's a great film. But they see the movie Salvador, and it propels James Woods to... He said before he went on the Z Channel, no one's even speaking of the film. The next thing you know, he's being nominated for everything in the book and was nominated for an Academy Award. But Quentin Tarantino's in the documentary talking about how it influenced him. And evidently, this is like one of these things where Hollywood movie buff nerd types, right? They look upon the Z Channel in a way of nostalgia, the way some of us feel about certain video games. Like, you know, everyone's rushing out to seeing the Super Mario movie, right? And of course, that all feeds back off of Gen Z and Gen X, not Gen Z, Gen Y, Gen X. They all grew up playing these games. And though they may not be the best game, someone watching it now goes, this is not the best game. You're like, dude, you had to be there, man. And so that's what this film feels like. It's really, really fascinating. Z Channel. And I highly recommend that. Anyways, you can find it on Pluto. It's free to watch. All right, we'll be back in a flash when we come back. Joey's with us, and we've got a lot to talk about and a little time to do it. Keep it locked in here on The Key. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.
Armchair. You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterbacks Sports Flash. Major League Baseball for Tuesday, April 18th. Tonight, it's Game 2 of Braves-Padres. We'll have it right here for you. Braves Country HD, 9:40 first pitch. Spencer Strider versus Blake Snell. Also in the NL East, Phillies at the White Sox, Falter versus Giolito. The Mets are at the Dodgers at 10:10 Eastern. Tyler McGill and Clayton Kershaw. Giants are at the Marlins at 6:40. Alex Wood versus Cabrera. The Nationals host the Orioles. 7:05, Josiah Gray versus Kramer. Other games around the diamond. Rays at the Reds at 6:40, Twins and Red Sox at 7:10, Sonny Gray versus Chris Sale, Blue Jays and Astros at 8:10, Bassett versus Urquidy, Cubs are at the A's, Brewers are at the Mariners, and the Hot Start Pirates are at the Colorado Rockies. Tuesday night, NBA playoffs, Hawks at the Celtics, 7 o'clock on NBA TV. While the TNT doubleheader, Knicks at Cavs at 7:30, Clippers at Suns at 10. And in the NHL, Lightning at the Maple Leafs, Rangers at Devils, the Jets are at the Golden Knights, and the Kraken are at the Avalanche. Those games can be seen on ESPN, The Deuce, and TBS. And in the Are You Serious? News of the day, Buffalo Bills safety Damar Hamlin has been fully clear to return to playing football, Buffalo GM Brandon Bean said on Tuesday. Hamlin saw his last specialist Friday and is in attendance and participating at the voluntary workouts at the Bills facility last week. Quote, he's fully cleared, he's here, and he is of the mindset he's in a great headspace to come back and make his return, said Bean. The announcement comes 3.5 months after Hamlin suffered cardiac arrest during the first quarter of the January 2nd regular season Monday Night Football game against the Cincinnati Bengals. Bean said that Hamlin visited with a variety of specialists since returning from Cincinnati and that they all have been in agreement on his case and he can fully return to playing football. Former NFL defensive end Chris Smith has died, the Cleveland Browns and his agent Drew Rosenhaus announced on Tuesday. Smith was just 31. A member of the XFL's Seattle Dragons this season, the cause of death was not disclosed. Smith spent 8 seasons in the league, playing for Cleveland, the Jacksonville Jaguars, Cincinnati Bengals, Raiders, and the Houston Texans. He finished with 11 career sacks. Smith started 2 games with the Browns during the 2018 season. During the 2019 season, Smith's girlfriend was struck and killed by a driver in a traffic accident. She was a passenger in Smith's car and exited the vehicle after it had a tire malfunction and hit the median. Smith made a comeback and returned to the NFL in 2020, playing 8 games with the Raiders. He played his college ball at Arkansas. And China's top basketball league has disqualified 2 teams from its postseason amid allegations of match fixing. The ruling came after the Chinese Basketball Association determined that the Shanghai Sharks and the Jiangsu Dragons engaged in an unsportsmanlike conduct during a playoff series last week. The league said in a statement that the Sharks and Dragons showed a lack of competitive effort and were negative in competition during their best of 3 series that concluded Friday. The teams will also be fined the equivalent of $5 million and have their general managers and head coaches suspended from the league for up to 5 years. China Basketball Association, headed by NBA legend Yao Ming, initially announced Saturday that it wanted reports from both teams on their conduct during the season. Yao said Monday in a statement that the situation was quite saddening, but stressed that the disqualifications and other penalties were necessary to preserve the league's credibility. Right-handed relief pitcher Colin McHugh begins a rehabilitation assignment tonight in High A Rome. McHugh was put on the 10-day IL with arm inflammation and is expected to possibly be back this weekend when the Braves host the Houston Astros. Don't forget tonight, 9:40 first pitch, Braves Country HD brings you Braves Padres game number 2 of the 3-game series. We'll also be right here tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for game 3 of Braves Padres. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Newnan, Georgia, simulcasting on youtube.com/Braves Country. Hey, Braves Country. Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night and 2 bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee. We'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves. It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans.
Who is on first?
What are you asking me for? I don't know.
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m., drive time on WQEE.
Welcome back. Joey, I was watching the Braves-Padres late last night. They were in the ninth inning, and they flashed over to a handful of Braves fans that were in the San Diego crowd doing the chop, and not one damn one of them were on beat. It was the funniest thing. You just saw arms moving, slamming into each other. Like, they didn't look like they were inebriated either, which would have been a fine excuse. I'm like, what in the world, man?
Hey, during this 7-game win streak, they're just getting all screwed up, I guess.
Yeah, like, come on, man, help me out.
I'm good. That's one good thing I'm at. There's not much in this world, but if you need a chop expert, I'll fly down and we'll get the chop going in the right direction. But good for the Braves in general.
Oh, man. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing good. I mean, not on a 7-game heater, but I have been so pleasantly surprised, and I know we'll talk about the Cubs in a different segment or who knows when, but I know it's on the agenda for us to talk because they have been – hot. And I mean, not just against, yes, they're playing the Athletics right now, but we just got over being in LA, not the easiest schedule to this point, and they just keep cranking away. It's a fun young team, and I'm really amped up about it early because, you know, we've got a lot of our guys locked up for the next few seasons, especially guys like Horner, Happ, you know, and so on. And I'm just Swanson being the big one, and it's been fun. That's all I can say.
All right. Here, I'll go ahead and pull them up now. So, yeah, I mean, sitting there at 9-6, can't be – how are the St. Louis Cardinals 7-10 and last in the division? I'll tell you one play. They ran into that buzzsaw that was the Atlanta Braves.
Thank you.
That's crazy to me that they are 7-10 – not that they're 7-10, but that they're last in the division.
You know, even when they went to, because one of my really close friends is a Cardinals fan, and we talk a lot, they, no matter who the opponent is, they just had Colorado who's struggling. They just never look to have it all on the same page. One night the hitting's there, but not the pitching. Actually, in the NL Central, they're the only team with a negative run differential to this point as well. Even the Reds, who are 7-9, are +2 run differential. So you could just really tell that the Cardinals just can't get it all together, especially that starting unit pitching.
Yeah, they're I'll tell you what, I still think the Reds are going to make some noise. I'm not a believer in the Pirates, per se, especially with O'Neill Cruz going down. I really think that's going to hurt them long term. But I think this Reds team is a feisty, scrappy bunch, and they're just not – they're not going to be able to put enough wins together to get in the playoffs, but they're going to be a team that you're not going to want to see down the stretch. And I haven't looked at their, you know, their schedule, but they've got enough offensive punch, and they've got some good young pitchers that, is, assuming that they're all still rolling in August and September, man, they could make a difference on who makes the wild card. You see this about Corbin Burns and DeGrom going down last night?
Sheesh. I mean, briefly, didn't actually see what happened, but hopefully nothing too serious.
Yeah, I haven't seen, you know, DeGrom's, it's the same old thing with that guy.
Right.
He got hurt. What did he say? It was his hand or his wrist. That's what it was, his wrist. So he pitched 4 innings and he came out. Same old thing from him where he said that he was sore going into the game, but he thought that, you know, that he would be able to work off of adrenaline and that it continued to be sore. But it's like there's something always wrong with this guy.
And hey, that's the price you're going to pay. We all know that was their big offseason addition, obviously, for the Texas Rangers, and they're in first place right now. But at the end of the day, you're going to need your ace pitching for you, and you can't count on him when it matters most all the time. So it'll be interesting to see where we're at if this team's still hanging around August, September.
Yeah, they're sitting there at 10-6. Angels, they're frauds. I'm not worried about them. Angels are 8-8, but Seattle and Houston, and everyone, I've seen some takes where people are like, oh, Houston, you know, they're stumbling out of the gates. They're going to be fine. They're going to hit a stretch. Agreed. In the middle of June and July where they win like 17 of 20, and they're just going to blow the doors off this division.
Yeah, I pretty much see eye to eye on that. It's nice to see some of these teams, like you said, compete early, but I don't think the Angels will hang around. I think Seattle will probably play a little bit better, but Houston at the end of the day has one of the deepest rosters in the whole Major League Baseball. So
Oakland is so bad.
I'm not even kidding you. I watched the game last night, Cubs at A's, obviously, and I think there might have been 250 people, and half of those people were probably Cubs fan. It looked embarrassing on TV.
Yeah, they always have a much higher number that they release, and I don't see where they get them from. It's like if you ever watch a Marlins game.
Oh,
come on. They'll sit there and try to tell you there's 10,000 people in the stands. Yeah, right.
Maybe 10,000 people thought about going, but that many didn't show up.
They must have – the only thing I've ever thought about with Miami is that they must have a bunch, and I mean a bunch of businesses that buy up a bunch of tickets, and so they're counting that. But who actually goes through the turnstile? So if you own like a – I don't even know the businesses are down there, but we'll just say, you know, that there's a big, like a Walmart or something down there, right? And they buy a bunch of, we'll say they buy 50 season tickets to give out to their management and whatnot. That doesn't mean that they're all picking up the tickets that we'll call every day. It's an embarrassment.
They're sending out emails at work and nobody's scooping the free tickets, it looks like.
Major League Baseball needs to get out of Oakland, out of Miami, and out of Tampa Bay. They've got to put the Florida team in Orlando, and they'll kick one of the other Florida teams out. I would prefer that the Rays stay and you kick the Marlins out just because the Rays are a better franchise. But Oakland has got to go east.
I wouldn't even – I tell you what, I wouldn't mind putting them in Vegas like what the Raiders did. Why not? I think they could pick up a market.
That's the obvious choice. But if not Vegas, then put them in Montreal.
Yep.
I really do feel like Nashville is going to end up being an expansion city. But if you're not going to do expansion anytime soon, then put the Marlins team in Nashville. They might have to move them around, might have to put them in the American League because you have so many National League cities right around Nashville, Tennessee, that they may not, the owners of those cities may not be willing to give up the National League market. But I feel like Nashville would definitely support a team. And no one could do worse than what the Miami Marlins are doing right now.
Yeah, like I just couldn't even believe like the reality of the situation when watching that game. I mean, when you look at a stadium, usually you see people sporadically. I bet you at the Oakland Athletic Stadium, you could look at 200 straight seats and not one soul will even be dusting the area with anything. I just thought it was mind-blowing to see it that empty.
I watched the tail end of their game on Sunday when they were playing the Mets.
Yeah.
And it was just – and it was a shame, too. It was a beautiful day there. There wasn't a cloud in the sky.
And it was a great game. Pete Alonso knocked that homer to tie it.
But there was no one there. I mean, did he?
Did the tree make a noise when it fell in the water?
Exactly. Because that tree – I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that tree made a noise or not because no one was there to hear it. That was bad. I didn't watch the other two, but I saw highlights. I never saw. I mean, do you ever meet an A's fan under the age of 70? You know, because there was a time boys and girls gathered around the campfire where the Oakland A's were an absolute monster. They won 3 back-to-back World Series in the 70s and then turned around in the 80s and went to 3 back-to-back World Series. I'm going to get you some of that stuff to put on your fingers so you won't bite your fingernails.
Sorry, it happens when I'm trying to think. Sometimes it always doesn't go perfectly. But the only time I have ever seen A's gear in my life and I actually own one shirt is because when you grow up, your teams change all the time playing baseball. I felt like I was the Athletics a couple of times growing up, and that's the only time I ever saw their gear was playing as a youth kid.
Yeah.
And that's not for obviously the major league team.
And I can remember as a kid there being A's fans around because they were all on the Mark McGwire, Jose Canseco bandwagon. And I loathed that team because I've always pulled for the underdog. So if a team, unless they're already my team, I always pull for the underdog. So I was never pulling for the Oakland A's in the late 80s. But they were selling that joint out. And I don't think it's all have to do with the ownership, and it's not all have to do with the fact that it's an outdated stadium. A lot of it has to do with the fact that the city of Oakland is poverty stricken. And the only thing that they have supported there in recent years has been the Golden State Warriors, which I think is actually technically in San Francisco anyways.
Honestly, when I look at the Oakland A's as a franchise, not in all regards, but just talking stadium like you are, and like people around who don't have a lot of wealth and money, not a lot being invested, it reminds me of Washington, the football team, with looking at their stadium. You know, it looks like they put no money into it. They haven't tried to do any renovations. You look bored. Is like when you're watching the A's game, you're not watching it for any of the amenities.
They're still playing in a football stadium. They're a football team.
Exactly. You think they would have made something, even if it's smaller a little bit, make your own stadium, make it your own.
At this point, they could have brought in some stands, right? Because the football team's not there anymore. But you know the reason why they're not, they don't want to do it, because they don't want the fans to be not seen. Right now, when you watch an A's game and the camera pans out, what you normally see is the huge foul territory. But if you brought stands in to go, oh, we're going to bring in more seats, what you'd have is like six people sitting in those rows as the foul ball's heading out of play.
I can guarantee you the College of Oakland or whoever's around that area, if you go to their college baseball stadium, I would put so much money on it that it looks way better than anything the Oakland Athletics have. And I don't even care about the size. I just bet you it looks awesome compared to that dump.
The Savannah Bananas are getting bigger crowds. And yes. I think they only seat like 3,000 people.
Hey, they take full advantage of the people who go because they'll probably get close to that number at least.
Yeah. But I mean, Oakland just needs to give up.
They got to be the first. I agree with the moves you said, but the first that's got to go by far to me is Oakland. It's just insane.
Oakland and Miami, those are the first two that have to go. Miami's an embarrassment. They support the Dolphins, especially when they're winning, and they support the Heat when they're winning. But everything else has to go. You don't see any Panther fans down there. That place is vacant until they get to the playoffs. It's a terrible. And I'm going to start on the fact that crickets at a Hurricanes game. When MTSU went down there and beat them this year, I remember watching that game and thinking to myself, man, there are going to be like 17, 18 people really mad coming out of that stadium today. It was pathetic.
I mean, for Christ's sakes, they gave the Marlins a new stadium, and it's one of the ugliest things I've ever seen.
The MTSU band's flute section could have beat up the crowd. There was nobody there. All right, let's take a quick break. It's 4:20. Smoke them if you got them. We'll be back in a flash with the NFL mock draft.
Hello there, Frazier.
Oh, what fresh hell is this?
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Your true friends are the people in your life that totally get your inside jokes, your unique style, most important, what you want to eat. Taco Bell knows that when you get together with your real friends, it doesn't matter what you're doing, but hey, it might as well be something that everybody can get into, like the taco and burrito cravings pack with four crunchy tacos and four beefy five-layer burritos. So even if you're all sitting around doing absolutely nothing, you know you'll still have a good time. It's Taco Bell's taco and burrito cravings pack. Get it for the friends that get it.
At Shell, we know from the time you get up to the time you wrap up, there's a lot of meetups, eat-ups, and hurry-ups. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. Fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gas. And see full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Right here on The Key and YouTube.com. At Braves Country. Welcome back. We had April 18th. Joey, April 18th. In 1939 and 1950, the Brooklyn Dodgers began the careers of two of the most revered broadcasters in the history of baseball. Red Barber, 1939, started calling games for Brooklyn. Now, he had been over in for the Cincinnati Reds prior to. And then Vin Scully in 1950. It's pretty remarkable it's the same day.
Legends.
All right, let's go ahead and get into our mock draft. Has it been, as we inching closer to the NFL draft,
can start to sniff it now.
We're still 9 days away from this thing.
I wish it was this week because the storylines are just getting quite stupid on all these networks.
Yeah, you see, Bryce Young, the quarterback at Alabama. Did you see that he? What did I do? Hit the wrong button or something? What's going on here? Did you see where he has stopped or canceled all his trips?
Yep.
He visited with Carolina. He visited with Houston. That's it. Now, if that doesn't tell you that he's the number one pick, right?
Oh, it definitely does. And here's another thing on it. The only thing I do, I don't agree with a lot of what I hear on networks, but the one thing I am starting to buy a little bit more is Houston potentially not taking a QB. And I say that because this, I think they really like Bryce Young more than the other guys. And if it's going to be between those three, and they have Hooker on the back end, they have pick number 12, Houston, as well in this draft. And they know they could maybe wait a year. They could also try to do that game. But I really think that Houston, with the pedigree of D'Amico Ryans, he could take a defensive player. And then it would get really interesting if C.J. Stroud would still be hanging around for picks 3-4. Who trades up? What happens in Indy? I could see that path where Houston maybe does not.
I don't buy it. I would bet the farm that they draft a quarterback.
Who would you go with?
Well, I chose, obviously.
You chose in our draft, I think.
Yeah, I took Richardson just because there's so much hype around him. But I would, me personally, I'm probably CJ Stroud.
Yeah, because
if I think it's safer. The problem is if you draft Richardson that high and you're wrong, you're fired. Him or Will Levis is going to get somebody fired if they're wrong. If you're right, you're going to look like a genius, and you're going to get a heck of a contract extension in about 2 or 3 years. When they go to re-up with the quarterback, they're going to re-up with the general manager.
And you're 100%, and not intentionally, but talking about Colts GM Chris Ballard, because it's going to be between Levis or Richardson in my eyes, and I think one of those guys is going to end up excelling, and one of those guys is going to hard decline, and that will either, like you said, it'll get you that extension or fired. But I just don't know which one's going to be that guy yet.
And I still think Arizona's trading out of that 3 spot.
I agree with that.
There's no reason for them to sit there.
No, because they can almost get first. Like with the, I'm not saying they'll get what the Bears got, but at this point, that pick number 3 is almost as valuable as that, because everyone wants to come up with how many quarterbacks are needed.
Saw Mel Kiper predicting that it would be the Titans. I'm not sure if I buy that, but somebody's going to go up there and put up a package together. And that's probably the conversations that Arizona's had nonstop for the last several weeks and will continue for the next 9 days as we get closer, because they're going to want to get the best deal that they can get. But if you're the Titans, man, you're kind of in this, you're almost in a stalemate right now, because you're sitting there with Tannehill. You can't get rid of him because he costs too much against the cap to just cut him loose. But I just think they're in a perfect opportunity to draft somebody and try to develop them and maybe put them in about halfway through the year.
Yeah, because to me, if I'm Tennessee and I'm looking at this draft, let's say you really love Levis, Richardson, or Stroud, and it gets to number 3 and that pick's there. Go up and get it. Like you said, Tannehill's eventually going to be gone. They're not paying Malik Willis the big bucks. If you really believe in one of these guys and you don't want to, keep throwing the pitchfork down the road like my team did in Indianapolis, take them now. You could sit them the full season even if you want to, and then have them learn, go at it after that. I just think it comes down to who really they love, and nobody knows any of that information. People pretend, but nobody knows who anybody loves but maybe Carolina at number 1 as we get the Bryce Young.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get to it, because we got 2 picks for today, and the first pick is in. And Joey is on the clock with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Absolutely, and after looking at the draft board, I know Pittsburgh in round 1 went Porter Jr. What a perfect fit that would be, as his dad went there. So to me, they got their defense out of the way at pick 17. So here in the second round, I'm going to take Broderick Jones, tackle out of Georgia. I looked at their depth chart. If you look at both offensive tackles in Pittsburgh, they're 3rd and 4th round picks that are pretty unknown to even popular football fans. So to me, we heard about Allen Robinson potentially today with that news. They have a young George Pickens. They have Freiermuth at tight end. They got Harris in the backfield. Let's get him a little protection with Broderick Jones, tackle out of Georgia.
Allen Robinson, man. Like, are people still?
I think he's done, but.
How can he not be?
Sure had his chances. Look, he went from a team where you thought he would be running all over the place with L.A., and even it just never added up. And I know last year was quarterback problems, but what was his excuse the year before that? So to me, unless something big changed in his life that got him back on path, I don't think it's going to work out. I think it's just a flyer. Considering they do have Pickens, I mean, they're not completely depleted there. So if it doesn't work out, that won't be the end of the world.
I just don't see why in the world you would go that route when – I don't know. If he couldn't do it last year, when the hell is he going to be able to do it?
Yep.
And receivers, man, when they fall off, they fall off. You don't see like a steady decline with a wide receiver like you might a starting pitcher. Usually, like once that guy loses his explosion, it's over.
You're dang right about that. I mean, look at last year too. They traded Claypool, so I don't know. You know, and it's a confusing receiver room at the moment outside of Pickens. But good luck to him, because the real question is how much can he get developed. So that's why I took offensive line.
I mean, do you remember the first game of the season last year when they were on Thursday Night Football? And every fantasy football owner of Allen Robinson went, uh-oh. I mean, what did he hit, like 11 yards or something like that?
If you look at his last two seasons, he doesn't go over 40 receptions, and he doesn't go over 410 yards. So, I mean, really, 2020, you'd have to take it back to when he had 100 catches with the Bears. So the last couple years have been bleak. I'm not going to count him completely fully out of it yet.
You're not?
Just because, I mean, 2020 wasn't a lifetime ago. I mean, it seems that way. But he, with the Bears, who never have much going for them, he did have 102 catches. 2021, the Bears quarterback was a mess. Last year, the Rams quarterback room was a mess. So I'm going to put very little faith in him, but I'm not going to cut the cord and say you're done playing in the NFL yet.
I'm putting a fork in him, man.
That's fine. That's fair.
Somebody's going to sign him. I get that. Somebody's going to sign him. They're going to wish they hadn't, and then there you go.
I guess I'm going to stick a spoon in him. It's a little softer. It won't hurt him too bad.
Well, you can go ahead and spoon him all you want, but I'm out.
Oh, hands are up in the air. I threw that one into my – dang it. That one came right back at me. Boomerang.
So while you're spooning Allen Robinson, the pick is in. So in the first round, we went with a quarterback, which is obvious their need with the Houston Texans. The second round, I'm going to get their other big need that kind of goes into that. And that is wide receiver, because they sent Brandon Cooks a packing. If you're going to bring in a quarterback, you're going to need something, someone to throw to. And I think I'm going to go with the best one on the board, on my board, and that's Josh Downs, wide receiver from North Carolina. He's a little bit on the small side, but man, he's got hands and he can make you miss. And I think he's a perfect guy to go after, because he's almost like Brandon Cooks 2.0.
Yeah, it kind of screwed me up when I'm putting that into the chat there. I forgot there was no pick 32 for the first round. So I have pick 33 twice. I corrected that, but I kept getting confused. I'm like, what happened to the 32nd pick of the NFL draft? Well, it's gone.
Yeah, the Miami Dolphins got caught cheating, so that's essentially what that was about.
That division's pretty good at that, between them, New England.
Yeah, they are. All right, let's go ahead and switch gears and get into the NHL.
Let's do it.
You know, did you catch any games last night?
Last night I did not, but tonight I'm going to be tuned in as Tampa Bay plays. So obviously I'll be keeping an eye on them as Tampa Tones always does. And I also am actually intrigued by Winnipeg and Vegas. So last night I kind of focused with the basketball. Tonight I'm taking it to the ice.
So, okay, so what's the deal? Does Tampa not let you have the remote at all? Is that why you're
if and when we're together, if that Tampa Bay Lightning game will be on, it will be on one of the TVs for sure. But even – I will even say the New York, New Jersey series, I mean, obviously – with them being so close and Patrick Kane being there, all these games tonight, I'm finding some interest everywhere on the hockey schedule. So most of the games are on ESPN, one's on TBS.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I watched the Islanders game last night, and even though they lost 2-1, I never felt like that they were in it. I swear, it just never felt like that they were going to put any kind of pressure to get that goal to put them over the top. I'm looking forward to Devils Rangers tonight. I'm going to try to tune into that before the Braves Padres broadcast, which doesn't start till 9:40. So I ought to get pretty darn close to the end of that game, because I believe that game starts, was it 7 or 7:30?
Seven.
Yeah. So that's the game that I'm focusing on. And, you know, Rangers Devils, I mean, I just got a feeling in this one that the Rangers are going to take it. What is your take on that series?
Yeah, I like the Rangers to end up taking this one. Now, tonight, it could be 1-0 Devils after tonight, but I think when it's all said and done, I really do think that the Rangers take this, and I'm going to go 6 games. I'll say the Rangers take it.
Any other series have your eye? With your Blackhawks being, you know, not making it.
Yeah, what a, you know, snooze fest they were for me this year. I'm obviously going to keep an eye on the Bruins just because they're the one seed. Now, do I see them losing anytime soon? No, but it's always good fun to keep an eye to see what they will do. But my favorite other series besides that, I like to take it to Vegas. They're the top seed in their division. They don't have the easiest of series, though, in my opinion, because this – I haven't watched a ton, but when I've watched hockey this year, the Winnipeg Jets always seem to be one of those tough, feisty teams, one of those teams that you got to scrap with them. They're not going to be the fastest on the ice, but they're going to be scrappy. So a lot of people are probably taking the Golden Knights to easily move on. I would not be surprised. I got that sneaky feeling on the Jets, like I similarly did with the Clippers, who did pretty good game one. I got a sneaky feeling with the Jets in that series.
I mean, I think another team that's kind of being slept on, because we were talking about the odds on this yesterday. The Avalanche are heavy favorites against the Kraken. The Kraken are not necessarily a pushover.
Not at all.
I don't understand. This is minus 300. And to give you an idea, the Bruins were minus 350 going into last night. So not a big difference in the betting eye on who's going to win between the Bruins series and the Avalanche Kraken series. And that's kind of ridiculous.
And like when the odds are always like that, when it's not the Bruins, I'm always a big believer, even if it's just a little bit of cheese, put it on that plus, because you never know when that might work out for you. I'm not saying put a big load on it, but hey, give us $5, $10. That plus 300 plus whatever ends up being, not a bad play.
I've got the Rangers and the Bruins in a parlay, which I'll have a night. It'll have an okay little payout. It's a plus 140, I think. Somewhere in that. Now, I took a couple of long shots. I also put the Islanders and Lightning in a parlay, but they were heavy underdogs, so I'm not really expecting that to come through. But I feel good about my chances between Rangers being the Devils and the Bruins cruising.
I actually like those two to meet in the, you know, semifinal, so I'm not opposed.
All right, let's take our last break. When we come back, we're going to get you set for tonight and talk about some hoops lines and, of course, Major League Baseball. We're going to give you our locks. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country Today, 99.1 FM, The Key, and Braves Country HD on YouTube.
Triple-decker burn!
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at ourdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at ourdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
Hey, sports fans, weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, Drive Time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Although edited, tonight's thriller contains suspense and violence, which may be unsuitable. Parental discretion is advised.
Welcome. Welcome back. Hour number two here as we take you all the way here to the top of the hour. Make sure to keep it locked in here. Brian Snow is next, and then you've got, I believe, CDP follows tonight, and then, of course, Sports Map Radio Overnight. Make sure to get your morning started right, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Rhino Radio Penitentiary. And then, of course, noon to 2, you got the Rod Peterson Show, 2 to 3, Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. And then we come your way live 3 to 5, Monday through Friday. And tomorrow we've got the Braves versus Padres, Game 3, coming your way as well. Joey.
Yes, sir.
What games are interesting you tonight on the hardwood?
Oh, you know me in my NBA. I'm one of the only goofballs that just keep going through here. But I look at the home teams that are down 1-0, and we have two of those tonight in Cleveland and the Phoenix Suns. Now, if you're on the road, it's a different story. Like the Kings won last night, at least Golden State is coming home now. You know, Boston, they're going to look to go up 2-0. That series, Hawks won't even get a game. But Cavaliers and Suns, they're on their home floor. They're down 1-0. To me, that's when your back's up against the wall. It's very hard to go down 2-0. Then you got to go on the road. Even if you split, you're down 3-1 with that simple math I can easily do, thank God. But at the end of the day, when you're down in these series and you get down 2-0 then have to go on the road, it could get ugly. So I'm really looking forward to Clippers Suns because I was listening last Friday when you guys were talking the series, and Bobby said the Clippers wouldn't even maybe sniff one game, let alone two. And the day before, I was all over the Clippers. So I'm especially paying close attention to that one now, Mr. Bobby, because you gave the Clippers no heartbeat. And if they could win tonight and get back to their home court, it would be wild. But Phoenix could be eliminated in one series, potentially. I don't see it happening, but there's potential for it.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch the show or listen to it, I told him that I thought the Clippers had a very good chance to make this interesting. Because the thing is, when a guy comes over in a trade and you see that they're 9-0 or whatever the heck they were, they hadn't played playoff basketball yet.
Correct.
So they were giving their all, but that doesn't mean that who they're going against was going giving their all. They're still probably considerable favorite to win the series, but I did take the Clippers to win the series just because it was, what did I get it at? Plus 270, something like that.
And when you can get that big of a plus on a team that has a lot of talent like they do, I love that type of bet because, I mean, it could all change tonight. The Phoenix Suns could win by 20. We could be talking a different story, but they won game one, and the lines are looking big tonight for all the games. So if anybody out there, if you're an underdog fan in the NBA playoffs and you're feeling squirrely about the Hawks, Knicks, or the Clippers, there's some pretty good lines out there for you tonight because every team is favored by at least 5 points, or if not more. So, I mean, it's one of those nights where the road team's got to really come to play because the home teams don't want to, you know, lose before they go on the road.
Yeah, the game Hawks at Celtics, I don't know if the Hawks are going to make this game interesting or not. They are getting 10 points.
That spells backdoor cover all over it, where Boston's up like 15 the entire game, and then they milk it the last 2 minutes, and the Hawks make some threes.
Yeah, I mean, they were up by 30 at the half and only won by, what, 12?
Right.
The 10, the game that I'm more interested in as far as taking, I'm seriously considering teasing the Knicks and the Clippers because I don't think those were flukes. Those two wins by the road teams. I do believe that the home teams are going to win tonight, but I think they're going to be hard-fought wins.
Yeah, I mean, the Knicks, I fully am on. I was just talking great about the Clippers, but the Knicks, they're always going to play solid defense under Thibodeau. And Brunson, he has that playoff experience from last year when he was with Dallas. I know Donovan Mitchell, but we all know his struggles usually when it comes playoff time. So, to me, the most pressure tonight is easily on the Cavaliers. They're newer blood in the playoffs. And they're on their home court. They don't have the Kevin Durant veteran to lean on. I like Mitchell. I don't love him. So I think they're going to play a little timid tonight. And if the Knicks can come out and get that early lead, it's going to be hard for Cleveland to come back.
Any overs, unders that you like in the NBA tonight?
Well, I'm going to stick with the game I was actually just talking about, and that is the Knicks and the Cavaliers, because like I said, this is a series where defense is going to be showing up. And I really think that the under, even though it's only, I know everyone's going to be scared by it as a two, some sites 215, some 214.5, but I think Cleveland's going to come out and shoot the ball terrible tonight. And I think the Knicks are really going to put some clamps on them. So I like the under on that. And then an over, I think the Clippers and Suns game tonight is going to go cuckoo land, banana land with scoring on the opposite end. It's a late game, so if you have the energy at 10 o'clock at night for those still in the East Coast wanting to watch some playoff hoops, I think we could get one of those 140 to 135, 135 to 130 games in Phoenix.
What about Major League Baseball? Any games got your eye tonight?
Well, outside of my own, because obviously I just think the Cubs should kick the keisters off of the off of the A's. My lock, actually, and I'm going to go with the Miami Marlins. They're at -106, their money line tonight. I like them to win. I picked up Cabrera for a spot start in fantasy. The Giants' offense is nothing special when you look at it. To me, I'm not saying the Marlins is either. But honestly, the San Francisco Giants have
every
not.
Time you talk about some spot start in fantasy you picked up, you know, getting creamed.
Oh, I admitted on Twitter right when I was wrong.
Was it Brito? The Yankees that gave up. He gave up like 11 runs in like 2 at bats. It was ridiculous.
I texted you because I was trying to enjoy my, what was that? That was Thursday. Yeah, that was Thursday. I was trying to enjoy it. I picked up a nice dinner. I came home and I'm like, Oh my gosh, 7 runs in the first inning. This is the worst.
I was having it so hard. I flipped over there. It was already 11-0. I was like, what the hell is going on over here?
I have many bad lives, but that might have been my worst one of all time as a part of this show.
And who was that against? Do you remember?
The Twins.
Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota. They just lit him up. I mean, it wasn't even like they, a couple errors. No, it was just straight moonshots.
Man, I was like, only Joey could jinx this. Because the Yankees have routinely owned the Minnesota Twins for like 20 years. He bets on it. This kid gets annihilated in the first inning.
It's just how my luck has gone.
I'm really tempted to go the other way on the Marlins.
Do it. I would not blame you one bit, because the Yankees, what did they do? They won a couple games right after that big loss. So I'm just full of jinxes tonight. So you probably want to end up going with the Giants.
So my lock of the night will be the Cincinnati Reds and the over. Their team total is 4. I think they're going to get above the 4 runs. It's going to be another bullpen game for the Tampa Bay Rays. And if you look at Tampa Bay's analytics on what their bullpen has done, a lot of it seems like it's smoke and mirrors, and they got lit up last night, and they have to go back-to-back nights on what are essentially bullpen games. I think Cincinnati's going to feast again in – I want to take the over for the entire game, because Hunter Green routinely just gives up bombs.
Right.
Tonight it's Lodolo, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay. So that's why I'm a little skittish. Lodolo's got some good stuff. He goes up there and pitches well. He could put me behind the eight ball. So that's why I'm just going with the Cincinnati Reds team total. It's a -125. I'll take it. That's my lock.
I like that. And if you want to watch some bad baseball tonight, just turn on the doubleheader right now. It's already started with the Phillies and White Sox. You want to talk about two teams that just completely are abysmal right now. I was at the White Sox game Saturday. That team already has more injuries in their lineup than you can think of. The Phillies, I don't really know what's going on over there. I haven't kept a ton of attention on them. But both of these teams are 6-10, and it has just been quite ugly. So if you're interested in some bad baseball doubleheader, just go on to the White Sox and the Philadelphia Phillies.
Well, I took Philadelphia on the run line in this game.
They're up 3-0 early.
Good, because I only had to get 4. And it's going to complete the parlay that I had earlier with Detroit with the +1.5, and they won with the walk-off.
Nick Castellanos is 2-for-2. It looks like he might have found some success from last year's struggles.
Well, all I know is that today – the White Sox are running 2 pitchers out there, and one had a 7.91 ERA, and the other one has a 6 ERA tonight.
I've been saying it since last year. Lance Lynn, he is just over the hill and done. He struggled a lot last year in the second half, and especially when it came down to it. And this year, like you said, he's 0-1 with a 7.31 ERA, and he let up 3 runs in this one already, so it's going to be a lot of bullpen.
I don't know if you're behind or something, but it's 5-0 Philadelphia.
Wow.
So as long as I don't get a rainout, I'm winner, winner, chicken dinner again.
Yeah, my games cast just updated, middle of the third now, 5-0. Unbelievable.
Someone must have hit a 2-run shot again.
Wow. Yeah, they had Harrison single to center, Castellano scored, Realmuto scored.
I don't normally take the Braves when I do the game, because I just feel like, who the hell is going to listen to the Braves country play-by-play guy on Google? I think the Braves are going to win. Who wants to hear that crap? So that's why I might personally take it, but I never. But, man, if there's ever a time for the rest of y'all to bang the Braves, they're playing good baseball. Spencer Strider's on the hill, and they're going up against Blake Snell, who not only has struggled a little bit out of the gates, but the Braves have owned left-handed pitching.
So yeah, I think
we've got a pretty good chance to win this one tonight.
and is not, you know, is more of a Braves house.
Minus 127. I don't mean to cut you off. Sorry.
No. I'm just saying is even just from a unbiased, not Braves, you know, I follow them closely now, obviously, because you got to in Braves country. But I love Spencer Strider. I have him actually not a spot starter. He's always on my fantasy roster.
I would hope not.
Exactly. So
starting Spencer Strider, I'm gonna have to ask for you to send me your credentials and I'll take over your team.
Yeah, that league would have to be disbanded. But in all seriousness, I love that kid and I hope he has a stellar season. I mean, he's 24 years old. He's so much fun to watch already.
The other one that I thought about, but it went above our mythical minus 150 line. The Dodgers at home tonight against the Mets are minus 155. Clayton Kershaw is going for his 200th win against Tyler McGill.
Yeah, and I was going to say at first, I'm like, yeah, after watching the Dodgers last week and their offense, I don't know where it went. But when you said Clayton Kershaw's 200 win potentially against McGill, I'm going with the Dodgers too.
I figure anyone who's breathing is going to be in that lineup tonight. I don't think you're going to give anybody with the night off. And I think they're all going to want to feel like they can get – they want Kershaw to get his 200th win at home because I think they go on a road trip right after this. I mean, I know 200 is not that magical. 300 was really the magical one. But really, nowadays
– I mean, how many are going to get there? Not a lot.
I don't know if we'll ever see another 300-win pitcher. I don't know if 200 is the new 300, but maybe
– maybe 250?
Somewhere between 225 and 250 because it'd probably be some real arbitrary number if you really broke it down. It's probably going to come out to like 238 or something. But I'm just looking at the fact that you're still going to have a long career, but nowadays they pull you in the fifth or sixth inning. It's really difficult to get to that number. That's one of those that will never be broken, the Ty Cobb win record.
No.
He's got 511 wins or whatever it is all time.
And, yep, exactly. And
his loss record, like 300.
It's sad. That's why when Gerrit Cole did what he did the other day with the complete game, it just you miss those games where the pitchers can go 7, 8, 9 innings. You don't just get it that much anymore.
What is your walk-off for the day, sir?
Hey, you know, this is always predominantly NFL, but put it down. The draft's next week, people. Let's watch the NBA and the NHL playoffs because this is when you get into those sports. Regular seasons are over. Let's watch these playoff races get down to it.
My walk-off is we got the ball game tonight, so I'm going to go try to rest my vocal cords till 9:40 first pitch. We'll come on with the pregame show a little before that, but Braves versus Padres, it's – the quad father versus Nam San, Spencer Strider versus Blake Snell. Let's go.
We'll see. Woo!
Have a great night, Braves country.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September. Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Braves Country Today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country Today, Southern sports talk with the voice of Braves Country Baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country, talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country Today, we go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE.